You're listening to 1240 WTBV.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. WGBB 1240, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
Oh, the spirit.
This is Al Barberino. Listen to the words. It's the whole purpose of our show. Listen to Al, but listen to Jesus.
And it fills our soul with gladness. And it puts our heart at ease.
And we're two kids in love with Jesus, and we want to spread that love. We want to spread it throughout Long Island, throughout the United States, throughout the world. All we want is one convert a week. Right, John?
Absolutely. You know, when you were talking about WGBB being the oldest station on the Long Island, I figured out that we're both older than the station.
Why are you picking me?
I'm not going to take that alone. You're going to hit me with it too, you know.
Actually, if you see us in person, we're two little old men. But we think we're kids and we're grossly in love with Jesus.
And for this show, I put my teeth in and I put my paddling aside and we go.
Yeah, you're making fun of me because I look like Bugs Bunny. I'm having work done on my teeth.
Well, we have a wonderful, wonderful room full of guests today. In fact, it's Trevor, who's our engineer. We're going to have to break down a couple of walls. We keep on getting more and more people here. How are we going to fit them in this studio? It's going to get harder and harder. Today's show is focusing on the mercy of God and God's love. And we have George and Debbie Neve, who really have been involved with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and devotion to St. Faustina, and they have a story they're going to tell us in a little while. Then we have Father Charles and Father Paul and Robin and the missionaries of
Ronan.
All right. I have Robin.
He was close.
I was watching. I took that from Tony's writing, and he writes worse than I do. And Ronan, we don't care. You sing anyway, right?
Yeah.
And if in the missionaries of the poor, it's the order started by Father Ho Lung, and we're going to hear about how God's love works through them and through what they do in their missionary work. It's going to be quite an interesting program. Got anything to add?
Well, I think that we have so many people here that you and I should be rather silent today. And I did get an email, by the way, just so you know. Everybody loves Dr. Palmer, and he said to me, he's doing a great job. Maybe you might want to give Dr. Palmer a little more time to talk.
He was very quiet and withdrawn, and I don't say much at all. Right, Trevor? We don't. Why are you laughing? You shouldn't laugh like that. Well, anyway, we're going to set the theme for the show with a little song, a little upbeat song called Mercy is Falling. And we realize the music sets you up for the show. You find it?
Mercy is falling, falling, falling.
music lesson.
Do I take those music lessons?
No, I took the dance lessons that were given me instead.
Mercy is full.
God's mercy is just
totally unbelievable.
Now, one of the things we're going to ask everyone around the table, how do you know God is merciful? How do you know He's merciful?
God is merciful.
Well, that's good. Thank you, Robin. Ronan, and we love Jesus, because God is not only merciful, He shows His mercy in a lighthearted way. All of His friends are filled with His love and filled with His laughter. Tony meant it when he said he was going to be silent. He's usually beaten up on me during the song. How come you've been so quiet?
Because I told the person that wrote the email that I was going to give you an opportunity. And I agree with this, that we do 50-50. I cheat every once in a while. I admit it, so I'm trying not to cheat.
Okay, all right.
Everybody loves Palmer.
You know, the first part of our show is going to focus on Sin Festina, a wonderful, wonderful Divine Mercy devotion that we started through her. And for those who don't know about Saint Faustina, shortly before the outbreak of World War II, a simple, uneducated, young Polish nun received a very special call. It was from Jesus. And Jesus told Saint Faustina, and this is from her diary, "I'm sending you with my mercy to the people of the whole world. I do not want to punish mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it on to my merciful heart." Jesus also told her to record his message of mercy in a diary, and he made Faustina the secretary of his mercy. And he said, "I have chosen you for that office in this life and in the next life." All the words that we'll share, that I'll share, are coming from Faustina's diary. And we want you to know that what she did in total obedience. He told her to paint an image according to the pattern you see, with the signature, "Jesus, I trust in you." And he went further and said, "I desire that this image be venerated first in your chapel and then throughout the world. I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend it as my own glory. My image already is in your soul." And he added, "I desire that there be a feast of mercy. And I want this image, which you will paint with a brush, to be solemnly blessed on the first Sunday after Easter. And that Sunday is to be called the Feast of Mercy." He said now too, "Write down at once what you hear. I am the Lord in my essence, and I am immune to orders or needs. If I call creatures into being, that is the abyss of my mercy. I am the King of Mercy, and I desire that this image be displayed in public on the first Sunday after Easter." And you know, Pope John Paul II made Faustina a saint and also declared the Sunday after Easter to be Divine Mercy Sunday. And for those who don't know much about Divine Mercy, just go online and type in Divine Mercy. Beginning on Good Friday through to the Sunday after Easter, you can do a novena, the Novena of Divine Mercy. And I will tell you this, I know it for a fact. People are healed during that novena. And whatever they pray for, through the intercession of St. Faustina, wonderful things happen. That's why George and Debbie are here. But we found out something. Tony, you found this out. Tony's been my silent partner today. But Debbie and George have stories to tell about their devotion to Divine Mercy. But what we really found out is Debbie is the spokesperson and George is the supporter. I'd love it to turn it around. Let's have a real pilgrimage. We want George to speak today. Okay. Good morning, George. How are you?
Good morning.
He doesn't speak. Okay.
Can I just preface this? When I go for medical examinations or medical treatments, I had a 3.5-hour oral operation last Saturday after the show, which Palmer didn't show any mercy towards. So anyway, while I'm going through these procedures and I go through CAT scans, I actually say the Divine Mercy throughout the whole process for the whole 3.5 hours, for the 3.5-hour CAT scan I got. And I found it to be a very powerful, powerful dedication, devotion.
Wonderful prayer. Even when I'm lying awake at night and I can't go to sleep, I recite the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And whatever is bothering me goes away. Deb, let's hear your story. Come on.
Okay.
George, I don't want you saying a word.
Well, we're celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary this year. And
praise Jesus.
Right.
Yes. Praise Jesus.
And we have always had God in our life, even from when we were dating. And I became diabetic when I got married, I was 25. And I became diabetic when I was about 28. And it was very difficult for the two of us. But I still remember George making sugar-free bakery things for me. We were getting ready to start a family, and I was having a lot of complications with the diabetes. And we started our actual just keep praying every night, just hoping and praying and leaving our trust in God that we would be able to have a child. And fortunately, we did. We had twins. But during that time...
Praise Jesus. He really answered your prayer.
Yes, he did. Thankfully. That's right. That's right. Double blessing. During that time, I had to leave my job. I'm a school teacher. I was teaching in the city. And I had to leave my job probably about like 20 weeks into the pregnancy because I started having a lot of complications being diabetic. And I guess someone in my family or one of my friends at school had known the plight I was going through, the struggles, and they must have sent my name to some, I guess, prayer group, and this prayer group sent me a package, and in that package was the Divine Mercy prayer, and that was in 1991. My boys were born in 1992, and from that moment, I started my faith of Jesus, I trust in you, and I've always had my faith, but I started looking at the chaplet as another way to help me through my pregnancy. And I was homebound, and then I was in the hospital for about 6 weeks, I would say, and it was difficult whether there was something wrong with one of my boys or my other boy, but through my faith and through our faith, we were able to continue our praying even in hospital. And I thank God that my boys, they come to this world very healthy. And we have never let them forget that through the power of prayer, this is where you find the Lord, you find your life. Because unfortunately, a lot of that you don't see as teenagers. My boys are going to be 19 in May. And through the chaplet, we really have felt that it has brought us together, our family together. It has been just the comfort for us, especially during that very difficult time of not knowing even if our sons were going to make it, because there were times where we were told one had a heart condition, one had something wrong, there were just so many things going on, and Yet we left it all in the Lord's hands.
And his mercy and love carried you.
Absolutely.
Through.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know, our show is for people who have walked away from the church, walked away from the Catholic Church, and the devotion to the divine mercy is something kind of new in terms of the what happens in our church. And for those who come back after being away for a while, you'll see this beautiful image of Jesus with rays coming out, white and red. And those rays are God's love. And I had Monsignor Fink, I'm sorry, Tony, had Monsignor Fink give a talk one time at a workshop I did, and he related the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and what Faustina has brought to the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He said it's just a revival. So I like that.
Isn't the Divine Mercy so beautiful? Because it shows Jesus' mercy for each and every one of us. He has mercy not only to me because I'm devoted and I love him so much, but he has mercy for the lowest. He has mercy for the biggest sinner. All we have to do is turn to him and approach his open arms.
I want to say that in 2008, George's mom passed away, and it was a beautiful place we were in with her as she passed, because we did say the chaplet as she was taking her last breath. And I think that really pulled us together, knowing that here we are at her deathbed in the hospital, knowing that she had maybe minutes to live. And we did say our chaplet with her, and she closed her eyes. And St. Faustina says that
That's right.
Even at time of death, that saying the chaplet will help that soul.
What did that do to you, George, at that time?
It was so powerful. I mean, the story with that was that I was down in New Jersey at the time, and a doctor had called me on the phone saying my mom was very sick, and you better get here as soon as possible. And I was probably about 2 hours away from the hospital, and Daddy was already there, and I just was praying in the car that my mom would, make until I get there at least, and to the grace of God, she was still alive when I got there, and she had all hoses and tubes and things, and we had them all removed, and her eyes were just alive with the grace of God, and we were able to say the Chaplet of Mercy right before, as she was passing, and it was just peacefulness of that was just a grace that we were able to share with her.
Quite honestly, and I'm sharing this, one of my prayers is that when it's time for me is to meet Jesus, is that I meet in those lines by a peaceful, merciful death. That's one of my major prayers.
You guys are so much fun to be around. Death and dying. And mercy is really talking about living fully alive in the presence of God. You had a story about your son. Why don't you tell us what happened to your son?
One of our sons, we have twin boys, Christopher and David. And when David was 10, when they were both 10, he developed viral meningitis. And he was very, very sick at home, and he just could not eat. He was losing a lot of weight. And I guess mother's instinct, I didn't listen to my pediatrician, and I told George at 4 o'clock in the morning, one morning, when David got up to throw up, we need to take him to the hospital because I just don't feel right that he's not getting better. And when we got to the hospital, they hooked him up right away with IV. And the nurse actually came to me a few hours later and said to me, you're very lucky that you came at this point, because it would have been a totally different story for your son if you would have waited till the afternoon. My son had to go through numerous MRIs, CAT scans, and then they decided they wanted to do spinal tap on him. And, being a little boy, 10 years old, we were at Schneider's in Long Island Jewish Hospital, and he was in a room, just a flat table, and there were probably about maybe 4 or 5 doctors around him, and they had told George and I that we could not be in the room because it had to be like a sterile environment. So here is our little boy crying because he wants us, and we could not be there. So we said to him, David, we'll stay outside and we'll pray. And I specifically said to him, I want you to pray to Jesus. And then I said, you know what, Dave? Besides that, I want you not just to pray, but I want you to talk. Because you have to have, like, a relationship. I want you to talk to Jesus to help you get through this. Okay. So we kissed him and we went by the door outside. About 15 minutes later, one of the doctors comes out and says, I have to tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Neves, your son fell asleep. Now, he had no anesthesia at all, nothing. They were just putting the needle, maybe like a local, like a lotion or something on his back, but they were going to put, you know, the needle in his back and all. Fell asleep. And we're like, wow, he fell asleep. About 40 minutes later, they came out again, and they said, this is the first time we have ever met a child, even an adult, that has fallen asleep through this procedure. We've never had this. And I said to George, that's because we're praying. We went back into the room after the procedure was done, and I'm shaking David. Wake up, wake up. And you could see he was asleep. I said, David, you slept through this whole thing. He goes, well, yeah, Mommy, I spoke to Jesus, and I told him to please put me to sleep so that I didn't have to feel any of this pain. And that, just those words were just so powerful because of the healing that Jesus gives to us. And when he finally did get home from the hospital, I had him write it in a diary. And I still have that diary. I should have brought it in, but I still have that diary. And it has those feelings of how, as a 10-year-old, he spoke to the Lord to help him get through this difficult process, knowing that his mom and dad couldn't even be there. He was amongst, you know, five doctors who were strangers and probing into his body. And yet, he just put his trust in the Lord. And that was just so amazing to us, that here's a little boy that we brought up from birth, the both of them, to know the Lord. Every Sunday we're at church. We do all the sacraments. Every day we pray in our house. And this is how they were brought up. So they took that, and as a 10-year-old, he took it, and just, it helped him.
Just put it in the hands of Jesus.
Absolutely.
He tells us that all the time.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Absolutely.
And by the way, Debbie, I noticed tears coming down your phone.
Yeah, it just, every time I think of it.
Tears are coming down my eyes, too.
He cries at stop signs. So,
yeah, I want you to know, Palmer, you know real Marines cry. You know that.
This is our ex-Marine. And we have a little section. Thank you, Debbie and George, for sharing that. That's so nice to, and so wonderful to hear God's mercy.
Absolutely.
No matter how old you are, if
that's
you
right.
Just say, Jesus, I trust in you.
That should be your main trust.
To you.
He'll carry
come
you. For me. Do it for me. It's in your
hands. Leave it in his hands.
We have a section on our show called Saints Alive. And the only reason we have it on there is because this guy next to me pushes the saints. He's a saint pusher. And we have Saint Matthew today. And
you can take
that
time.
Can I take that
time? Yeah,
but just don't read 20 pages. You know?
Okay. Well, I'll give it an abbreviated one anyway. But Saint Matthew is a saint that, again, you would say, why did Jesus ever select St. Matthew? Just think about it. He was a tax collector. A foreign country came into your country, took over your country, taxed all the citizens, and then had a man from your country or a person from your country collect those taxes. They might have gotten a bum rap because they were considered crooks. They were considered dirty. They were considered illegal because it was felt that they were pocketing any excess monies that they collected, and they weren't giving the true amount that the people owed. So as Jesus was walking, when he was starting his ministry, he's walking, he passed Matthew's boot. By the way, his name wasn't Matthew at the time, but Jesus gave him that name, which means God, power of God. And so as he passed Matthew's boot, he says, follow me. And Matthew, like all the other apostles, dropped everything and followed him. And then one time there was a dinner at one of the tax collectors' houses, where there were several tax collectors, and Matthew was there. Historians think it may have been Matthew's house, but they're not sure. And people were criticizing Jesus and saying, how come if he's the man of God, he elected to eat with crooks, with thieves, with tax collectors? And how come he selects, and our question's always been, why is he select the fishermen? Why is he selecting the strong, the powerful? And you know what? I think we got the answer. Sunday's readings of Samuel, where God says to Samuel, because Samuel felt that someone should be selected as a leader, and God, I believe, says, that's in your eyes. But in my eyes, the stout, the strong, is not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for what's in their heart. And so that was just about what Jesus' answer was when he was being criticized. And so Matthew's heart was loving Jesus and followed him. And he followed him, he listened to him, he obeyed him. Of course, he deserted at the time of his crucifixion because only John stood around to watch the crucifixion. But Jesus knew what was in Matthew's heart. So Matthew went to Ethiopia after Jesus' death and to start evangelizing. And there he was martyred. And so there's not much known, too much known about Matthew, except that his heart was in love with Jesus and that he thought he would follow Jesus. And
you know, Tony, when we hear about Jesus, I trust you, that's the same call, follow me. When we hear about the missionaries of the poor, it's the same call. Why don't we move over here, if I can rush you just a bit?
I knew you would do that. But let's do that. But let me also explain another part of the readings that sort of took me. And where it said, and when the blind man proclaimed about Jesus, because Jesus gave him sight and he saw the light, and it's about the light of Jesus. And the blind man said, one thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. It's hard to argue with people's personal experience such as yours, Debbie. And so these personal experiences are what causes the conversions. Okay, you can take over now.
Oh, thank you so much. We're going to hear from the missionaries of the poor, and Father Paul is going to be the spokesperson.
And Charles.
Are you ever going to get these names right, Dr. Paul?
So many people.
What is the next election?
I can't do two things at once, you know that. And Ronan,
I'm doing that on purpose, though.
Now, Father Charles, tell us a little bit about the missionaries of the poor.
Being today's message for all of us is God's mercy and love. I thought I speak first, sharing a true story. About 2 years ago, we came across a family. We were informed this mother is very sick, and she had 5 children.
Would you tell the people where you're from, too, and where you work?
Right. Well, I work in Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica. This is not Jamaica, Queens. Kingston, Jamaica, West Indies. And this family lives in Smith Lane in the ghettos of Kingston. So we were informed about this mother who is very sick with 5 children. We went to visit her only to find out that he was affected by HIV, and also found out that the father of the 3 children, the last 3 children, was involved with drugs and gone mad and needed some sort of help himself, but could not be found with the family. The first two children were from another man. We didn't get into any details as such. But we begin to take care of the mother because she was affected by HIV/AIDS. We also have a large home in Kingston caring for those who are terminally ill with AIDS in their last stages of their life, when there is no one to take care, would come to us, and the brothers and the priests of the missionary support dedicate their life for people like this. And after a few months of our attending to a right in our house, the mother died also, leaving behind these five children. And we were a lot more worried, even when we were taking care of this mother, what to do with these children. And the children were starting from like 12 right down to 5 or 4 years old. They were actually going to school. There's a good educational system in Jamaica where even if you don't have any money, you can get to the school, public school. All you need to supply is, you know, uniforms and books and all the rest that goes with, you know, food and clothing and so forth. The amazing thing that we experienced when the mother died was, which we did a funeral for her, we begin to consider them as part of the missionaries to the poor family. You have to understand, in Jamaica there is what you call a yard, where in a that's a property type, and people live kind of lined up together. They may not be necessarily related to each other, but they live together. It's called a yard. And this woman who was the next door neighbor, I can tell you her name, Pam, to our surprise, took all the five children. Didn't care about how she's going to manage. And because of the relationship they have experienced, as you know, people live together. And when we were trying to work with the social service system that exists in Jamaica, how to locate these children, she said, not to worry, we will take care of the five children. Wow. And this is
mercy.
This is God's mercy. This is God's love. And even now, the children are with her. Except for the first two, we were able to put them in a school where there is a hostel or a boarding. But the rest of the three little children grow up with this mother, Pam, as if she is the mother to them. While there is terrible homelessness situation in Jamaica, this is what we always find among the poor. They learn to help each other, even with the little they have. And it's
God's love moving them.
Yes, it is. And sometimes with the people we work, they are so grateful for the little you share. And we as missionaries, the poor, who work with the homeless, sometimes see how grateful they are to God for the little they have, and cherish every little thing they have as God's gift to them, and have in their hopelessness great faith and trust that it's a beautiful day.
You're going
to beautiful night. And how it all started was Father Richard Holong is the founder of the Missionaries of the Poor, descent of Chinese descent, was a Buddhist for 19 years along with his family, then got converted to Catholicism, joined the Jesuits, and then after his priestly life he was teaching at Boston University for a number of years as a professor of literature and humanities. And then when he was assigned to Jamaica, after a few years at teaching as a professor at Boston University, he was teaching at University of West Indies and also Georgia's College. There was terrible experience we had in the late 70s with political blocks and lots of violence. And young people were locked up in prisons without trials, without you know, any sort of consideration, and because they belong to another party. And Father Holon began to work for justice, social justice, and really was very successful in finding, you know, release from the prison for these prisoners, who were like more than 300 persons at the time. And then was moved to work with the poor, especially the homeless, the forgotten ones. He is very favorably called the ghetto priest at the time. Now he's also called a reggae priest because of his music. Mm-hmm. Was moved to leave the Jesuit order, which he loved very much, to form the community of brothers and priests of the missionaries of the poor. Only in existence for 30 years, but there are about 550 brothers and priests now the wow. order has.
That's wow. amazing.
Wow. God has really been helping us with vocations from all over the world. We are already in 8 countries, in the Philippines, India, Haiti.
Wow.
We also have a great mission in Haiti, and Uganda, Kenya, Indonesia, also in the United States. We are in Charlotte. And
Father Holon was a lot like Matthew, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Come follow me.
Yes. It what drew him was he felt that in order to really be an authentic Christian, he has to live by the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. And so he was drawn by the teaching of the Beatitudes, which really goes beyond the circle of Catholic Church, where it is the kingdom of God. And it was an amazing experience that he had, and the vision is really, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. And whatever you did to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. He took that literally.
We live God's mercy.
And live as God's mercy. And that's what Missionaries of the Poor does in Jamaica. And we have a problem in Jamaica, which is Jamaica is trying to legalize abortion, and we are trying to set up an apostolate, which is to offer women who already think that they won't have their babies a chance to give life to their children. And so we are here in New York trying to promote a musical concert. I ask Rohan Jakes, who is here, an artist who belongs to Father Holon and Friends and also a member of the Missionary Support, to say a little bit about the concert.
Thanks, Father. The concert is entitled Praise Him, and it's a concert with Caribbean music.
Love your music.
Lovely, lively Jamaican music. Reggae.
No, I love your music.
Yeah.
I've heard it. I love it.
I listen to it all week last Sunday.
Okay. It's lovely, lively Jamaican music. So come in your Jamaican colors if you have them, and you know, let's have a wonderful time. It will be at the Lefrak Concert Hall at Queens College, 65-30. Casino Boulevard.
It's right off the expressway. You can see it on your left going to the city.
And at the St. Catherine of Siena Auditorium. Now, the concert on Friday, at the St. Catherine of Siena Auditorium starts at 7:30 p.m. And the ones on Saturday and Sunday also. On Friday, April 15th, it's at 7:30 p.m. And on Saturday, at April 16th, it's at 7:30 p.m. And on Sunday, April 17th, at 2 p.m. and 6:30 p.m.
And I think sales are very brisk, and I think people should start getting the tickets now. So
they're going very fast.
And if they email us at listen-up,
1240@AOL.com.
We'll put them right in touch with your group so they can get their tickets.
And we'll get those tickets reserved.
That's right. Go ahead, Rohan.
There's going to be some it's a wide variety of songs, as well as some drumming and, you know, some really good Jamaican stuff. So if you've never had a Jamaican experience, come out and really enjoy it.
It's lively, it's renewing, it is refreshing.
And it's God's love. You're going to sing a song. I have a song.
And for a good cause, a wonderful cause.
Starting a song.
What is this song?
It's called I Will Serve You. I will serve you, my sweet Jesus, my beloved Lord, lead me. I will serve you, my sweet Jesus, my sweet Jesus, too. Praise to you, Lord my God. Honor you, worship you, honor you, sing to you, die for you, live for you, die for you, Lord my God. Though I may never see God,
his name longer. Morning, that word, and it lifted me. You are certainly a gift from God.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you. And Harry, thank you.
Okay, I won't ever forget your name.
Okay, Uncle Johnny.
You know, but for all of our guests here, we always end our show with prayer for healing for people who have sent in petitions. And this time we're going to do it just a little differently. We've talked about Faustina, and we're going to just play the Divine Mercy. And while it's playing in the background, we're going to pray, and we ask you to join us in prayer, whatever comes into your heart, and so that we can get ourselves in such a mold that Jesus and his love and his mercy goes out all across the airways. Eternal Father, let the softness of this music touch your heart. Let Jesus in. Let him in.
Jesus, Christ, in atonement.
with us the beauty of your love. Help us to cross over the boundary of time. It's a unity with you and love, spiritually, mentally, prayerfully. Help us to know that you are with us in response to our call to your heart. Could you remind us, be not afraid. Trust in our love, as our love, the love of God, supersedes any and all concerns that you can generate. You tell us, be still. Settle into the heart of our love. Focus on the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She will lead you into the love of the Sacred Heart of her Son, Jesus the Messiah. Do that now, listeners. Do that now. Let your imagination wrap you in the love of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Experience the truth of that love internally, that only the unity and love with them can infuse in you at this very moment. Jesus, in my heart I hear you say, we, Father, Son, and Most Holy Spirit, greet you at the opening of forever in love. We fill your heart with our unity and love in such a way at this moment in your time that it's impossible for you to do anything but know that you are with us in love beyond time. There's no need for you to recite your petitions. We know them by heart. You see, we read your heart at this very moment in time, in your life space in the world of man. We simply infuse in you the ability to move beyond time, beyond space, and beyond matter into our world of love eternal. We enable you to trust that we, Father, Son, and Most Holy Spirit, know exactly what you need at this very moment in time, and we share it gracefully in you through the unifying love that exists always in the Immaculate Heart of Mary and in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In this stillness in your being, we flood you with a sense of our peace-filled love. We warm your being with an internal sense of our true presence and love eucharistically, even though you are not at Mass receiving the body and blood and the soul and divinity of our Son, Jesus the Messiah. We know you believe that we can do anything. That's why you are here before us in prayer, in the silence of your heart. You place your trust in us. We will not betray your trust of the moment. We open your eyes of faith to the wonder and the power of what we do in you at this moment in time. A forever in love takes over in you in ways that will surprise you. Be at peace, my friend. You trust us beyond the boundaries of logic. We know this. Thus, we tell you to trust what we do in you right now in your time. Remain firm in your trust in our love. Now, feel the power of our true presence in you. First of all, we forgive your sins, as Jesus did when he was on earth in time physically. To prove this in you, we reinforce your ability to trust in our love by releasing are healing love in you. Know that we heal in you exactly what we know needs healing in you at this moment in your life. We may or may not heal what you think you need healed. However, we do in you what is best for you so that you may grow to an infinite deepening sense of the fullness of our love in you. We lift depression from your heart. We remove the swords of hurt that have wounded you so deeply that you turn away from us, doubting we exist. We remove the scales from your eyes as we did in Paul in Damascus. We enable you to see the wonder and the power of our love at work in you. We heal broken relationships by the new insights our love infuses in you. We let you see the path to healing of these broken relationships, and we set you on a path to such healing. We touch you physically at this moment in such a way that there is no doubt for you to doubt that we are whom we say we are. You place your trust in us at this moment in time. We reward that trust with an ever-growing internal experience of our love in you. My friends, do not try to analyze what we do. Our ways are not your ways. Your limited human mind can never understand our divine ways. Just trust that our will is done in heaven and on earth. Now, accept our gift of an ever-increasing ability to trust in our love in you. Amen. For Teresa, who was just diagnosed with lung cancer. We pray for all those who have sent their petitions. As we know, Lord, that you're here with them now. And we don't know how, but we know in some way your love is going out all across these airways, touching these people, giving them the love. We pray for the blessing of the missionaries of the poor and their work, Lord.
We also pray for the continued good work of Debbie and her husband, with the divine mercy. And we certainly pray for Father Charles and Father Paul to continue doing their good work. Because when they say they're working with the poor, they really mean they're working with the poor of the poor and the disabled. And we just give glory and grace and God for allowing them to do that.
And I want to offer a special prayer for Trevor, who leads his ministry. He's not Catholic, Baptist ministry. And Trevor, we ask that the mercy and love of God touch you, fill you with inspiration so that you can bring people to Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for Trevor.
And his good work was written up in the Daily News, by the way. And continue doing the good work, Trevor. Mm-hmm. God bless you. Praise Jesus.
And I'd like to end with the song that's done by the missionaries of the poor. You got something else you want to say?
I just wanted to say, if you have petitions, please send them to us, email them to us at listenup1240@aol.com. John and I will respond to each and every email, each and every petition, each and every request. And we just want to be interactive. If you have something you want us to announce on the show, we can't announce too many, maybe two or three, we will announce them, and we'll try to promote it. As a matter of fact, Debbie's got an announcement she's going to make.
Yeah, I'm part of the Divine Mercy Group at St. Thomas the Apostle Church in West Hempstead. And this coming Friday, April 8th at 7:30, we are going to have St. Faustina's Way of the Cross, and it is for our Lenten preparation. And this is the time to really deepen our relationship with God. And what better way to do that than through the Divine Mercy Novena? So if you can join us at St. Thomas in West Hempstead, 24 Westminster Road, we would love to have you there April 8th at 7:30.
And for more information on the Praise Him concert, call Annette Fernarella, 516-312-4646. And there's another person, Brenda Pistani. I know Brenda so well. 516-457-6664.
And Vanessa announced us that Catholic Center is also going to have a soup night, and called the rectory for additional information, and they're also going to have an auction. I think it's this weekend, and also call the rectory for information. And if you have any other announcements you'd like to make,
I got one more.
Of course.
On the 16th of April, we have the Men's Ministry Day of Prayer at Holy Trinity High School. But you just email us, and we'll let you know. I want to finish with that song, Trevor, because we want to just end up praising Him.
Yes, praise Him.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Loud. Go ahead. Can I say something?
That was the instrumental to the song, actually. But it's our title song to the concert, to praise Him.
Oh, I had it on the end of my list of songs. But that's all right. It's on the other disc. Don't worry. Okay.
Can you sing it? Can you sing it without it? Your voice is so beautiful.
Let me try it.
Yeah.
The same one.
Yes.
Oh, lift your hearts and praise Him, Jerusalem, oh, praise Him. I sing now, praise Him, oh, tremble. Come know His greatness, tremble, our God is mighty, tremble. I sing now, tremble, oh, raise your voice in love. The rivers rush and call upon His name. I softly woo His love. He robes me in His love. Praise Him, oh, lift your hearts and praise Him. Praise the voice to God Almighty, give Him worship, give Him all the glory. Praise the Yahweh, Yahweh, oh, Yahweh. Praise Him, Jesus, oh, Lord. Praise Him, Jesus, oh, Lord. And praise Him, oh, Jerusalem, oh, praise Him. I sing now, praise Him, oh, tremble. Oh, know His greatness, tremble. Oh, God is mighty, tremble. I sing now, tremble, oh.
Ronan, praise Ronan.
Praise you. We'll see you next week.